Today is the beginning of Holy Week. And today the church celebrates Palm Sunday. And we join with Christians all around the world to commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And we did our very best to reenact this morning. I know that Jesus was with us. We probably didn't see the donkey, but nevertheless, that's our effort to reenact that particular event. However, it is also Passion Sunday, when we take time to meditate on Jesus' passion and death, as we make our own, our personal journey to the cross this week. And for many Christians, this week is a special time for prayer, for solemn reflection, and for preparation. So tell me, when was the last time you prepared for a very important guest? Well, I was thinking about this, and part of my own context is that I was born and brought up on a little island in the Caribbean. And so in our context at that time, the visits of heads of state, dignitaries, and celebrities were very special for the entire island. I remember that everything was freshly painted. The roads were resurfaced, and the route of the motorcade was lined with flags, with banners. All of the government buildings were decorated. And there were times when waving school children will be there on the road, on the parade route, getting a day off from classes for the occasion. And I'm sure that you have your own experiences of parades and ceremonies and dignitaries. And even today, the official visits of important guests require much preparation, including detailed itineraries, list of invitees to all of the special events, security, and of course, the press releases. I remember those press releases when I worked for the Ontario government. I was part of the team in the background preparing notes. Unfortunately, though, by the time the notes get through the system, you don't recognize them. But that's another conversation for another day. But for a moment, just think of all the preparation for the recent visit of the President of the United States to Ottawa. Well, it was similar in the days of Jesus, particularly for entry processions by generals, by governors, or of the emperor himself, as these were important occasions to display Roman political and military power. And I would imagine that lots of preparation went into those visits as well, as compared to the modest entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. For we learn that on their way from Jericho, Jesus and the disciples came to a little village just outside Jerusalem. And as they approached the village, Jesus instructed two disciples to find a donkey and its colt, which would be waiting for them. Accompanied by his disciples and a crowd of followers, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, an animal that is used in everyday life. And Matthew's account of this entry into Jerusalem, I am sure, reminds us of a number of things, but I want to share three with you very quickly. Firstly, Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy referenced in Matthew 21, verse 5, which was just read to you. It's a prophecy from Zechariah. If you'd like to do a little background reading at your leisure, it's from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And it goes something like this: "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So first of all, Jesus was fulfilling that prophecy. Secondly, perhaps Jesus used an everyday working animal, nothing fancy, to declare that it was just another day at work, as he continued to do the work that the Father had sent him to accomplish. He was fulfilling the prophecy. He was sending a message that it is just part of his role. And thirdly, he was demonstrating his humility. Because Jesus came riding on a donkey instead of on a horse, or coming in a chariot, like the leaders of his time. And perhaps it is also symbolic of Jesus' goal of service to humanity in place of the authority and control under which the Jewish people lived at that time. I picked up this expression somewhere, and it's probably familiar with many of you here, and I just could not find the original source. And it goes something like this. Everybody loves a parade. It's a fairly common quote, isn't it? For many here today, our experiences with parades might date back to childhood memories. Perhaps we started out watching these parades, Santa Claus parades, whatever parades they may be. And then we progressed a bit, don't we? We started participating. Perhaps some people here might have been members of bands. You might have marched in some of these parades. As a Boy Scout, I marched in several parades. And many of you, I'm sure, have your own history of participating in parades. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, it seems like the whole community came out. Could you imagine what it might have been like? For we are told that the crowds gave Jesus the red carpet treatment. Some spread their garments, and others cut down branches from the trees and scattered them along the way. And they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," as they proclaimed Jesus as the great prophet from Nazareth. Some biblical scholars have suggested that at this point in the history of the Jewish people, the crowds were looking forward to the end of oppression from the Roman Empire. And perhaps this was more on their minds than the spiritual salvation that Christ offered. For although Jesus was generally regarded as some sort of prophet, some people at the time found it difficult to accept him. He did not fit their preconceived idea of a conquering king, for he would definitely be using a horse, wouldn't he? Yes, he would be using a horse and a chariot instead of a donkey, don't you think? Well, my friends, we know that crowds are unpredictable, aren't we? For the same crowd that welcomed Jesus on his entry into Jerusalem would bow to pressure and desert him a few days later. And we are no different, aren't we? As we proclaim Christ and yet desert him when we do not stand up for what is right, when we forsake those in society who are vulnerable, or when we ourselves allow doubts and fears to strangle our faith. So what can we apply to our own lives of faith as we journey this Holy Week and experience the grace of God found in Christ? A few thoughts to consider. Let us accept Jesus, who revealed himself as the Son of God in humble service to humanity. Let us face our human weakness, for as we make our own journey to the cross, not just this week, but each and every day, when we are confronted with difficulties, when we have health issues, when a friend suddenly passes away, When we look at our bank accounts and realize that perhaps the bills are more than the balance. When we are confronted with our doubts and fears, let us face our human weakness and look to the cross. Most importantly, though, let us accept God's amazing grace in saving those who trust in Him. We are all part of the crowd singing Hosanna today. But what if we were to look at Palm Sunday from the perspective of Jesus? Allow me to share a point of view from a resource called Ministry Matters. And I quote here very quickly. Jesus entered Jerusalem fully aware of what awaited him. Jesus knew the Hebrew people desired a civil rebellion against the Roman occupancy. Jesus knew his call was greater than this moment in history. Jesus knew the people he loved, and the very people he had come to save would betray him to both religious and governmental authorities. What did Palm Sunday look like to him as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey? End of quote. Palm Sunday has been described as a calm before the storm. As Jesus now enters into this critical phase of his earthly ministry with humility instead of pomp and ceremony. For he arrived in Jerusalem and is greeted by an adoring crowd. And for this short time, at least, it appeared that all is well. But within a few short days, the welcome will turn into disappointment and hostility. The crowds had praised him, but Jesus was not the type of king they expected. But he would be humiliated and later on exonerated. So as we start our trip through Holy Week with the Prince of Peace, let us keep our eyes on the cross as we follow the path that leads to hope. And so, my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, may we prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate the risen Savior. These thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. And God's people will say, Amen.